Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. For the last half hour, we were talking on our Blog Talk website and radio broadcast, and we will be letting the local people on our living network at hisholychurch.org see a copy of that show, but that's kind of a warm-up to this show. It's you can find it at hisholychurch.org under media. You can find links to our Blog Talk show, and as well as keystothekingdom.info has many of the past shows that we've done, so that you can listen for hours and hours and waste your entire day listening to us. But fact is, what we're doing is not just entertaining you. We're looking for ways in which to actually preach the gospel of the kingdom and to bring it to you in real ways, because the gospel of the kingdom is your salvation. It is the solution for all times. Whether you were born in ancient Rome or in modern Libya or Australia or China or under other political regimes such as the United States, if you are having problems in the world today, the solution is found in the gospel of the kingdom. And I say gospel of the kingdom because that's what it was called. It wasn't just the gospel. It was the gospel of the kingdom. And we were told to preach that the kingdom of God is at hand, within your reach, a now thing. And as that now thing, it is a part of what your solution is for today. Now we've got a call in. I don't recognize who that is. Who is that? Who do we got?
This is Larry.
Larry Moore?
Yes.
Okay.
I've got a big question for you.
Great. Great to hear your voice.
I'm having one dickens of a time getting on your Blog Talk radio program. I started it 20 minutes after. I never got in till 10 minutes till.
Yeah, I don't know, our technical guy.
Is there something that you're supposed to do to get into it?
I really don't know exactly. I never listened to myself on the Blog Talk, so I've never ever logged in to do that. But
I thought I might pick up Paul before I got you, but I thought maybe he may know, so...
Well, Paul is on right now. I don't know what the solution is to that. We probably ought to have some sort of find out what the problem is, because we've had that complaint from several other people. We did record it. We will let people hear that. But, of course, it's kind of frustrating if you're using it as a warm-up to this show and then you can't get in to hear it. And I don't know what the problem is. It may be a little bit temperamental, but I know we did record it, and we will make that available. There are some things that I mentioned on that show that I won't mention on this show, so they will eventually be connected. We will put that out right away so that people will know that they need to come to Liberty Radio Live to hear the follow-up on that show. But we will cover some of those same topics again. I really don't know what the solution is on that, but we need to let the people on the network resolve or find out what that solution is.
I apologize for taking part of this program, but now that you have 2 hours, I didn't feel quite as bad. But anyhow, it has been very frustrating to me. I said, well, I'm going to start early today, and I know I'll get in, but I never did.
Oh, I don't know why. We do have some people that have a hard time getting into that. Other people get on real easy. But we'll see if we can't resolve that this week sometime.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks,
great
Larry.
To hear your voice, Larry.
Alrighty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, Larry's down in the Carolina area. He hosted us on the Whirlwind Tour, he and his lovely wife. They live back there in the woods a little bit. anyway, we met a lot of people in that area, and we really need to make all these shows and recordings available to everybody who are actually trying to hear us. So I don't know what that is. We'll work on that as a project this week to find out what's the problem with that, getting in to hear that right away and see if we can alleviate that. But one of the things we talked about is all the gurus that come about. And the major theme of today's show is making that living network something that gives life. And we actually have some really good news that during the hurricane that came ashore, and I guess there's a couple more out there that are heating up or warming up, there was a lot of people in the network reporting that other people not only checked on them, but actually came to their assistance. Several of the people in the network, and I don't know all the people who came to whose assistance, so I can't name names and everything, but people showed up with generators and campers for people that were flooding, and laborers just sleeves rolled up to help people who had parts of their houses flooding. Other people were high enough ground that they didn't have any terrible difficulty, even though they were out of power and everything. They were fairly well prepared. I remember back when there were some snowstorms in the Midwest, and everybody in the network was checking on everybody, but everybody was faring real well because everybody in the network was well prepared. And they were kind of disappointed because they couldn't find anybody who needed help. So we had the same thing when the tornado affected Terry's house down in the Midwest. Actually, didn't affect it. I guess it destroyed it entirely. And he was giving us an update, and people were immediately jumping out saying, oh, how can we help? How does he need anything? And he had to write back and say, no, I don't need anything. I'm just giving you an update. He wanted their prayers because he had been dealing with an insurance company who wasn't coming through for them. But and I think that the major point of his prayer is that he wanted to remain patient and loving and in Christ's grace, and everything evidently is starting to work out for them. They actually had a tremendous amount of outpouring of support from their local community, which is a part of the extended network. The whole network is not everybody who has picked a PCM on the Living Network. It's not everybody who has formed a congregation of record, but it's that extended network out there. And we see that even with Christ, is that he had his followers who were following him and coming out of the world and the Corban of the Pharisees, but they still had people even in the Sanhedrin who were looking at what Christ was doing and saying, hey, you know, I like what this guy says. I'm still a part of this Corbin and this system of Social Security. I'm still a member under oath in the Sanhedrin, which was their Congress. But I'm listening to Jesus, you know. And Jesus pointed out to one of them that he was not far from the kingdom. We have many people, Roman centurions, men of faith, more faith than anybody else that he had come across. And Christ could look a lot deeper into his soul than just those few words that we read in the gospel to know that it was real faith in this man. So we have to realize that there's the formal network and the recorded network, but there's the extended network of all those other people who are our friends, who are men of honor and women of honor and women of service and men of service, who will come to our aid, and we should be ready to come to their aid. Someone was asking the question, I won't mention names again, I actually called in to one of our talk shows with one of the congregations of record, but I made it there after it was over. And there was somebody else who had gotten the time mixed up, and they were sitting there. Now, why I called in, I don't normally call in, but for some reason I just felt I was really rushed, and I called in, and there I found one lone sheep sitting there on that call, because they had gotten the time zones mixed up, and they'd called in an hour late. And there we had a great conversation. Anyway, they presented a few questions to me about being a PCM, personal contact minister on this network that we've created through the email and internet, which is a start. It's a small step, a baby step towards the kingdom. And they were asking about asking personal questions of those people who elect them and being, you know, reticent about giving too much personal information. The purpose of creating these contact ministers and people who choose them is to start to create that trust where you don't mind sharing information with a lone individual. It's not like you join a email group and you start putting everything out there like you're on Facebook. It's about connecting with other people. Now, because we're so spread out, a lot of times we use internet and phones in order to contact people. But the idea and the purpose is to eventually find more and more people in local areas and bring them together so that they can actually help one another during emergencies, whether they're personal or bigger disasters like hurricanes or tornadoes or earthquakes or any of these other things, or economic collapse, etc. We want to create these intimate congregations where you get to know people, know who you can trust, but we are not congregationalists. We are kingdom seekers, not congregation seekers. Now, you need to seek that congregation. You need to order your own household and your family, but you also need to come together in congregations. But those congregations need to come together in a network of congregations, and that's kingdom. What is the binding agent? The binding agent of the kingdom is love for one another. How will they know us? By our love for one another. And that love is not just a touchy-feely emotional love. It's an actual practical love where you help one another. On the earlier show on Blog Talk, we had a call in, Martha in Mississippi, who actually has been in the Carolina areas, taking care of Jeffrey's place down there while he's out here in California. And she was asking about the fact that I mentioned there are a couple of words in the Bible that are can be translated oath or vow, and one of them actually means prayer rather than oath in the sense of contract or binding legal agreement. And that is the vow that we should all be taking, is this prayer. And I correlated it with this concept of a republic. A pure republic is not an indirect democracy. A pure republic is not a constitutional republic limiting the power of government, because in a pure republic, the government is the people and the leaders are titular. They have no power. They can't make laws. They're not lawmakers. The law is already made. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not murder or injure your neighbor. That law is already made. Now, the enforcement of that law is in the hands of every individual, because every individual is a policymaker, a policeman in the kingdom. And we touched on that in Blog Talk, dealing with a particular guru that's going around and offering Israel nation to everybody and telling people that they need to take an oath to the state of Israel. He spells it a little different. And he's creating supposedly a body politic. And we gave an example of the fact that I have a long history with this guy. It goes back a dozen years. And he has lied and collected money based on lies, and collected lots of money based on lies. And I've confronted him with it, and his only comment before he blocked my emails was that, who made you a policeman? Well, God made me a policeman. God made you a policeman. If you're seeking righteousness, you're seeking righteousness not just for yourself, but for others. There used to be a thing called hue and cry, where we came out and defended our neighbor. We sought robbers who stole from our neighbor. Now we don't do that anymore, because we've become this socialist state. I had somebody who's actually close to me who stated the other day, they were actually out in our garden, And they stated that communism would be a good government. It just depends on the leaders you elect. Well, actually, no. Communism is not a good government. And you will not elect good leaders. You will elect bad leaders because you're in a socialist system. And socialism breeds stupidity. It breeds apathy. It breeds lack of personal responsibility. And you will have all kinds of idiots electing more idiots because they're not participating in the kingdom of God, which is about personal responsibility. Not just for yourself, but for your neighbor. In order to be responsible for your neighbor and to be that hue and cry, to come out in the streets and help your neighbor when he needs help, you need to know who he is. You need to network. And this is why Abraham created a network and through these altars that he was setting up, these living altars that Abraham was setting up, not piles of stone, but living altars. Moses created a network through the congregations of ten that were bound together by faith, hope, and charity through free will offerings. That takes time to build a relationship to create a real nation. And this is why I referred to the individual who was offering this other system, who said himself he was offering you the 10-cent solution. You need the whole enchilada, the real solution, which is Christ and the kingdom of God, which he preached, which means to come together and start taking care of the responsibilities of government, from police to welfare, through faith, hope, and charity, by networking, to developing the relationships to find out who you can trust. I sent out a Kingdom newsletter today, this week, on who do you trust. And it gave you several links about trust, sham trust. And this is what the individual who was creating this Israel thing, 10 years ago he was out with another project. I should say it's about 12, 13 years ago now. And he was out collecting money back then, offering lots of truth. He offers lots of truth. The devil offers lots of truth. But in it is mixed lies. And if I'm telling you a lie, tell me about it. Show me. Let me know. But I'm not afraid. I want you to police me. That's another thing. You need to police every minister you pick. People think, well, you pick a minister. We don't need ministers anymore. They got all these different ideas. You're in a pure republic where you're picking titular leaders in name only, and you're picking them because they're the best example of a servant, so that you end up having the highest servant of servants in your network. These leaders need to be policed. You don't give them power except over what you give them. And then you watch them to make sure that what you give them was properly used and well used. And if that was well used and you still trust them, then you can give them some more so that they go out and do the job of government, because they are public servants. As soon as you start taking oaths or affirmations or making applications under penalty of perjury, your public servants will be public servants in name only. They will be authoritarian rulers making laws for you. You see, there's this switch that takes place because you're not acting as the responsible agent of government. In a pure republic, you're the government, and public servants are public servants. Now, which is better? In the kingdom of God, which is better? To sit at the table and eat? To be waited on or served? Or to serve? Well, Christ said it was to serve. Well, you're policing your ministers. You're calling him out on mistakes that he makes, the shortcomings, failures that he may manifest, as humans will do. You call him out, rebuke him. he will love you for it if he is a truly a good servant of Christ. And that is very important that we do that, that you exercise and maintain that responsibility of government within each congregation as each individual. And when you do that, you will be on your road to freedom. When you go and purchase a 10-cent solution, which will probably cost you more than 10 cents, where you fill out some papers and suddenly you're supposedly free, and you take some oaths and supposedly you're free, you know, what did Jesus say? This guy is saying take oaths to the state, you know, to this free state, to his Israel nation, I guess. But Jesus said, anything more than yes for yes and no for no cometh of evil. You do not want 14th Amendment citizenship. You do not want your rights under the Constitution. You want your rights under God. And there's a long road back to that. And you don't have much time to travel that road, so you better start now. And when you start doing that, not only for yourself but for others, you will start to obtain fruits that you cannot obtain any other way. Blessings that you cannot obtain any other way. So I don't know if there's questions in the chat room. I had a bunch of questions that I wanted to go over. I got to pull up my cheat sheet here on topics and notes. If you go read Covenants of the Gods, Citizen versus Citizen, we cover all the things that that individual was bringing up in his recording 19. That I'm not mentioning who he was on this. You'd have to get the copy of the blog talk in order to hear who it was. His reference is the birth certificate. We covered that in Call No Man Father, as well as in articles we have up on baptism. You can go to hisholychurch.org and just look up the word birth certificate up there in the search engine on the right-hand side. You just click on the little guy peering out with his hand to his forehead, and a search engine will show up, and you can search the entire web site at hisholychurch.org and find lots of articles, and some of those will have recordings. You can go to the outline page, and it will have information on that. You want to be bound by this faith, hope, and charity. In order to be bound by that, you have to start practicing charity, helping one another, helping us through the network, finding others who want to live by those precept upon precepts we see from Abraham to Moses to Jesus Christ. You have to start gathering together in that network. I think it was great, the guys who brought up his approach to this Israel nation thing, because through the network we can expose the error of his ways so that we don't have hundreds of people dragged off and waste huge amounts of time. This is being there for one another. This is great. Thank you for those emails. Thank you for showing me where this guy is at now. We'll talk more about this when we return the keys to the kingdom.
When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Jefferson did not write, they are endowed by their constitutions with unalienable rights. Nor did Jefferson write, they are endowed by their elected lawmakers with unalienable rights. Jefferson did write that these truths are self-evident. Does that mean we have to go to school to learn these truths from a teacher? Does self-evident mean we have to read, study, and research these ideas in books written by other men? No, these truths are written on our conscience, on our hearts and minds, written on our souls by our Creator. These truths are maxims of his law. If unalienable rights are endowed, granted, or given by our Creator to each of us, does that mean that there is no free will choice, act, or deed that can bar us from access to these God-given unalienable rights? Is it a self-evident truth that we can freely choose to do anything and we will always maintain access to these natural law unalienable rights endowed by God? Isn't it a self-evident truth that the answers to these questions are no? Isn't it also a self-evident truth that in order to maintain access to the inalienable rights granted by God, that we must also maintain our God-given natural law responsibilities and duties in order to maintain our position or status in God's government or jurisdiction? Don't the governments of man require obedience to their laws in order to keep their civil rights? Why would it be any different for God? If we want to keep his inalienable rights, wouldn't we be expected to keep his laws, do his will by remaining obedient, loyal, and giving allegiance to him and his government? If an individual, family, community, or nation freely chooses by consent, participation, or appeal to create or join a different government that has its own structure and form, which creates its own civil laws, and grants its own civil rights to its members, persons, nationals, or citizens, doesn't the act of joining, giving allegiance, obedience, trust, and faith to this new government mean that they have rejected the Creator's government and rejected His laws? Doesn't it mean that the people have rejected God and His ways, and in essence, expatriating their natural status as a national in God's kingdom government, in order to be naturalized into a new government created by men via consent, contracts, constitutions, participation, and appeal? Isn't this what happened to the Israelites when we read 1 Samuel chapter 8? So how does an individual, a family, a community, a nation once again get access to their God-given inalienable rights once they have lost them by their own free will choices, acts, and deeds? Repent. Turn around. Go the other way, God's way. Start taking back the responsibilities that are imposed on the nationals of God's kingdom government. Responsibilities do not follow rights. Rights follow responsibilities. The first step is to truly love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. If we want our God-given unalienable rights back, we must stop exercising dominion over our neighbors. Start keeping the commandments. Do not covet. Do not steal. Which includes the legalized covetousness and plunder that is mandatory in all man-made governments. Start by coming together in free will assemblies of individuals and families that are seeking to return to God's kingdom government. Families and individuals start by seeking, striving, and working to be the departments of health, education, welfare, economy, defense, agriculture, energy, and justice for other families in the free assembly, but also for other families of families near and far. The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back to Keys to the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the Kingdom of God. Those of you listening live on LibertyRadioLive.com can go into the chat room. We have somebody monitoring the chat room. If you have questions, you can just put it in there. Paul's on with me now. He's very silently, quietly watching these things, so I won't distract him by making him talk. But you can ask a question there in the chat room, and we'll try to address it. Maybe even we'll answer it. As you know, we also have a phone number where you can call in to I don't know exactly how it goes. We may be having a guest in a week or two. And I won't mention his name, but we'll be telling you on the Kingdom News List in advance, and also on the Living Network, which you can join at hisholychurch.org. And somebody's inviting me now to be on another radio broadcast somewhere else in 2 weeks, and maybe we'll get them to... I was trying to read through the email, but I couldn't get to all of it before the break was over. I'm multitasking. We're actually, our studio, if some of you are interested, is actually the backseat of a van. There is no DSL out where I live, so I have to drive into what pretends to be a town. It's not actually an incorporated town. It's just like a bump in the road. And they actually have DSL down here, and they let me use the DSL for free. But it's a really pretty chilly morning. We had 28 degrees the other day in the morning. Actually, it may have been, you know, there was frost on the car after I moved it quite a few miles. And so it's pretty chilly in here. I'm going to have to start bringing more blankets or something to cover up while I'm in there. Yeah. It's not 28 in the car. I ran the heater a little bit before we got here, but
sounds like a good opportunity to mention camping out at the retreat.
Yeah, we got a retreat coming up here. We got another one in the Midwest, which you can find out about on the Living Network or on our website, hisholychurch.org. We should set up a way I can link to a single page that would have all other retreats and meetings on, and we will set that. That page could be set up on our wiki site, which allows our contact ministers to do all that fairly easy, which is preparingyou.com. And that way, if you can't make it out to Oregon, which is the last weekend of September, and we go all the way into the first weekend of October, and we'll probably have that pretty regular for our dates and not follow the Hebraic calendar, whether you're using the solar one or the lunar one or the change the month every day. There's so many of them out there. We're having it based on the fact that if you wait later in October, it gets even colder. And also, duck hunting season starts, and you can't get any accommodations anywhere in the community when duck hunting season starts, because this is a big duck hunting area. So if you're interested in coming to Oregon, to the high deserts here for our retreat, let us know. We have some property now that we have control of. There's an RV park right next door to us. And so there's lots of ways in which we can do this. We can accommodate thousands of people at a retreat if they come in the spirit of the Feast of Tabernacles. But it's still going to require us to put a little bit more effort into this. And those of you who want to work with us in building that retreat ground, that would be great. We actually have other opportunities coming up, but we won't bore you with all that now. But it's going to take lots of people working together. And the spirit of this message is exactly that, networking and caring about one another. We're not soliciting funds all the time, although we certainly could use it. I could actually do this radio program inside the building, but they're allowing us to do it from our van for free, and free is within our budget. So, although it's not free to even do that, because I have to be out here and get here early enough in the morning to make this happen. Some of the other news items that came up this week was Chuck Hardin has come out and started talking about the possibility of CMEs knocking out the power grid. We've mentioned that several times. I've actually been telling people about that for over 20 years. We understand exactly how that works. And it isn't a matter of can we predict CMEs. They happen. They've happened in 1895, major CME, that if it happened today, it would knock out major portions of the power grid, as well as a great deal of our solid-state communication systems, as well as satellites for navigational systems. All those could be terribly affected by CMEs that have been witnessed and observed. And the reality is there were huge amounts of CMEs at the time of Jesus Christ, too. We've reported about that. That if they happened today would knock out this technological wonder that we have produced. People are ill-prepared for that. If you're seeking the kingdom, you will be more and more prepared every day. So we don't want you to be operating out of this concept of fear and anxiety. We want you to be operating out of the concept of love for one another. And that means to network together, to be there for each other, as we saw with this hurricane. Well, let's put it this way. The normal amount of hurricanes that hit shoreline every year coming out of the Atlantic is about 6. Last year, there were 12. This is because of the events on the sun. So CMEs don't just knock out power grids. They affect the weather. And that's well known for centuries. That during these solar maxes that take place every 11 years and every 22 years particularly, because every 22 years the pole is reversed north-south. Every 11 year it reverses, but every 22 years it's in a particular way where the Earth gets hit more often by CMEs, and this happens to be that period. It pumps up the weather. I've seen it and recorded it. It also affects the geology of the Earth. In other words, it affects earthquakes and volcanoes because of the energy coming in. So all these things are reality. The way to prepare, yeah, you can create Faraday boxes, and the government should have been doing that for years. The power companies should have been doing that for years. They haven't been, and now they're coming out. They should be shutting down every single nuclear power plant because you could have a total blackout, and this has been the great fears they've mentioned in nuclear power plants, that if you have a total blackout, you can be absolutely annihilated on the East Coast by the number of power plants, nuclear power plants, that could go down and begin to do what we see happening in Japan. Japan is a great warning. Japanese radiation, including cesium and other particles, are falling in America and in Canada, which is part of America, on a daily basis. And it is contaminating soil. And it is contaminating crops, and they are becoming less and less healthy for you. And there will be more cancers caused by certain types of radiation that is coming from those plants that were devastated by earthquake. And earthquake didn't do so much as the flood did, but the total blackout that took place because of earthquake and flood didn't allow them to maintain the viability of those nuclear power plants. Germany is starting to shut down all theirs, and it would probably be wise if America started shutting down theirs because of the dangers of contamination that just doesn't go away. Now, the good news is there are algae and fungi and other microorganisms that will begin to neutralize that radiation almost immediately. There is natural immunities. There is a spiritual protection that can come to you physically when you physically begin to operate in the spirit, live in the spirit, which is to love your neighbor as yourself and to love your God with all your heart and your mind and your soul. when you really start doing that and become doers of the word and forming that network that has always been the kingdom, you will receive spiritual coverings that will protect you from these poisons. But it will also conduct your actions. There are ways that you can decontaminate soil. There are ways in which you can grow crops in greenhouses and be watered not by rainfall but by other means. You know, only about 3% of the agricultural land in America is used to produce the fruits and vegetables we consume. There are already reports of people plowing up their backyards and learning to garden. The knowledge could be a great benefit in itself. The practice is great lessons for your children and your children's children, something that we've lost is the art of gardening. And the produce can be far healthier for you than anything you're buying in the stores. And it can actually supplement your diet when there are food shortages, which there all will be in the future. Right now, there's quite a food shortage because the food you buy in the grocery store is not that good. Networking can help you develop the knowledge that you need. Our Seed Savers network can be very valuable to you in obtaining seed when you can't buy it from Burpees and all the other seed providers that are out there. Getting good seed that are not hybrid, good seed that is not genetically modified will be very important in the future. All that depends on networking. And that was the theme of our last show on Blog Talk earlier this morning. And that's really what we're talking about now is networking for life. Coming together in a body, learning to trust one another, and learning to who's honorable and who's not. Learning to do these things that are going to be so necessary. Policing yourself, providing for yourself. I heard on the way here, I heard Ron Paul talking about... let's see, I think we got a caller coming in here. Anyway, real quick before we go to the caller, Ron Paul was talking about doing away with FEMA. And of course, those of you who saw us on the whirlwind tour saw me wearing my FEMA hat, because I have a FEMA hat. But our FEMA stands for Faith Emergency Ministry Auxiliary. In order for that to become effective, we have to network. We have to network as a community, as congregations, and as a kingdom. And that means to form that same principle network of you not only picking a contact minister, but that contact minister picking another contact minister and building the bonds of that society by being there for one another. So we have a caller. Caller, who am I talking to?
Brogan, Mountain Grove.
Okay, yeah, I stayed at your place, right?
You did. How are you, Gregory?
Yeah, fine. Is your door still working?
My door is amazingly working, thanks to you. I thank Joshua for sending you.
Okay, well, it was a pleasure to help you out. So what's your question?
Well, I just also wanted to, a couple of things. I wanted to also... echo the words of the gentleman that called him before. I have a very hard time getting into top shoes. So if we could do something to modify that somehow, that would be wonderful.
Okay, we'll have to get our technical experts working on that Blog Talk to find out why some people are having a hard time, and that will be our project for this week. So what's your other question?
Hold on. Is that top shoe or Blog Talk? Sorry.
What was it, Talk Shoe or Blog Talk this morning?
Talk Shoe.
Okay, now the Talk Shoe. The Talk Shoe is a conference the only one that we've had recently on that, I think, Lowe's Hill, his church at Lowe's Hill has one. Is that the one you were talking about? Or was there another
Saturday or?
Saturdays, yes, Saturdays. It's very tough for me to get on there.
Okay.
Is that Blog Talk?
That's Talk Show.
Well, there's a Blog Talk in the morning before this show, There's a talk show that comes, there are several of them.
That has the archives on it, right?
Right. They both have archives. But anyway, we'll look into both of those and see if we're having trouble and see if there's some sort of solution. But like I usually call into the talk shows that come, and I don't usually have trouble. But Blog Talk, I've heard people having trouble. But we'll look into that. So what is your other question?
Well, also, I wanted to let you know that last week when you were on, you were talking to someone about her... It was one woman, and she was talking about a Wiccan. She had a Wiccan, a witch in her neighborhood.
Oh, okay.
I kept trying to get on the phone, and you kept saying to me, "Right here, some other sourcing of noise or something." But I was trying to get through on my cell phone, but somehow it just wasn't. It wasn't working then either, so I don't know if it's something with my phone or what it was, but...
Right, so what's your question concerning that? I can't even remember that particular conversation. Was there...
I just think there's some technicalities that if they would be worked out, that would be great. It was more of a comment than a question.
Okay, that was that private call when I called into a talk show and she was on there alone.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. And I kept trying to join your conversation, but we were out and about, and my phone was not allowing me to do that without a great deal of interference.
Okay. Yeah, that was on a talk show that was sponsored by Lowe's Hill. And we both showed up an hour late, but we had a good conversation. And I did remember somebody trying, but we couldn't get you. And that may be your phone.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
So anyway, was there any other questions that you had for this radio show?
Well, no, I did want to comment on the email though that Tim sent out yesterday about the CMEs. That was a very, very good show that they had on, and I do understand his outlook about trusting people. And at one point in time, many, many emails ago, Scott did answer that question very prolifically about trust. So it is on an email conversation somewhere.
Right. Yeah, we sent out in the Kingdom News list at least three web pages that we've had up for some time that we've cleaned them up a little bit on trust so that people understand that. I'll let you go, and I'll talk a little bit about trust. That would be a good topic to lead into. Great to hear your voice again.
Very good. Thank you. You have a very blessed Shabbat.
You too.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. We've talked about the networking for life, and one of the aspects of Abraham's system of networking was these altars, and those altars were literally sacred purpose trusts. They were living altars. They weren't just piles of stone. Once you understand the Hebrew language, we go into it a little bit in the book Thy Kingdom Comes and show you what they're really talking about. This was common knowledge at the time of Jesus Christ by religious groups that were far more popular than the Pharisees, and were probably where the majority of the early Christians came from. They understood what Abraham was doing, had a completely different take on the Old Testament than the Pharisees had, and they had this take based on reading the same Pentateuch and Torah and Tanakh that we see the Pharisees reading. And so therefore, why was there such a tremendous misconception? And it has to do with the nature of the Hebrew language. And we reveal a glimpse of that in the book, Thy Kingdom Come. So anyway, back to this idea of trust. What the sacred purpose trust was is that you gave an offering to take care of particular needs of society, because those altars were the FEMA of their day, the faith emergency ministry auxiliary of their day. It was to help out the needy in pure religion. the needy of their society through faith, hope, and charity, and at the same time strengthen the poor, not make them weak as socialist systems do. And it required everybody to participate, but it also required, in order to work, it required it. It wasn't required by a king or a top-down authority. It required it by the necessity of life in the real world where bad things happen. So what they did was they gave up something entirely, and this is an irrevocable trust. They gave it up to these living altars to take care of the needy of their society. And the best ministers at doing this were given the most to do what they needed to do. The ones they trusted the most were the public servants of those communities. This took a while to get across to the people, but by the time this five-king army was coming through, conquering one walled city-state after another, this network that Abraham created was able to muster an army overnight, both with their own network and an extended network, that defeated that army in a heartbeat. And they could deal with the tragedies of those days. We are going to have to deal with tragedies in our own time, whether we live in Australia or China or Romania, whether those tragedies come to us by way of CMEs or astronomical or astrological events or economic events or corruption in high places. There will be bad things happen, calamities that happen. And there needs to be a network of people who care about each other in order to deal with those calamities. They talk about an aspect of those calamities called, they actually call for seven men, even eight. And I thought that was very interesting in the Old Testament, to deal with these calamities, because you know not when they will happen. Right away in Acts, we see the apostles having a problem with the daily ministration of what? Daily ministration of pure religion, daily ministration of the welfare of the kingdom. Because all those people who got the baptism of Jesus Christ couldn't collect Social Security through the Corban of the Pharisees anymore. They were cast out. They were separated out. They were opted out. Now they had to have their own system in place to help people who were in need. And whether you need anything now or not doesn't matter. You will need something in the future. You most certainly may need something. I say you will need something. If you live long enough, you will need help in the future. So you need to build that alternative system of living altars that was the kingdom from Abraham to Moses to Jesus Christ and to the early church. And they go and they say, look out amongst yourselves and pick men you trust, and we shall appoint them over this matter. Because it's not right that we wait on tables. The word tables there is the same word for bank. We're going to talk about this concept of trusts and banks when we come back in this. And we're going to reveal some really important concepts on that subject.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.